Welcome once again to Podcasts Are Bulletproof. The countdown continues, December 5th, 2019. This episode brought to you by the United States military and all its veterans serving and have served, and Homeland Security, which I am a member of. We fight and have fought for our right to podcast, and then we podcast. Or we podcast and fight for our right to keep it that way. I've already decided. I've already made my choice. Make your choice. Welcome.
What's that?
What topic are you doing?
I haven't decided the topic yet. I'm just stoked to be here and exercising my right to podcast. And that's what the topic is, you know. I tried to get a hold of my other guest, Captain, I can't remember his name. It was Captain something. But, well, you know how that goes. But what's new, bro?
Been playing Modern Warfare with my brother. And our family friend. So.
Oh, you mean Fictus?
It's been a lot of fun.
You mean Fictus Wretch?
I think so. I think that's his name.
Are they playing right now?
He's online right now, but I'm not playing with him at the moment.
Why, you guys got sick of each other?
Pretty much.
Pretty much, huh? Well, folks, that's a wrap. So what's the consensus with Modern Warfare people? What do you think is the average age group?
Probably between kids in their basement to man children.
Man, children, and kids in their basement. What age would that average out to? Probably, I would say 28.
Probably like 12 to 38 or some shit.
There's no way 12-year-olds are playing Modern Warfare.
Oh, are you kidding me? There's like kids that play Grand Theft Auto.
That kind of bothers me, man.
I know, right? It's fucked. But, I mean, that's what the ESRB rating is for. Because, you know, like, hey, look, see this M? That means up your kids shouldn't play it. So, please, don't ignore that.
That's a...
So that way you don't, like go to, like, some court to make, like, a case about against it. You know, just don't let your kids play that game. Yeah, it's like you would not let your kid watch, say, Nightmare. Like, you wouldn't let an 8-year-old watch Nightmare on Elm Street, right?
Some parents would, you know. They consider it, like, you know, get them educated early so that they know how to survive in the world. And then you have, like, your redneck parents where it's like, hell yeah, I want my kids playing Call of Duty.
Oh yeah, if the parents are fucked up, obviously.
And then, you know,
allow that.
The truth of it is, a lot of these parents are they're pilled out of their minds. They're pharmaceuticaled out the gizzards, out the gills. What's it called? The gills, up to the gills, and they're cool with their kids doing whatever the hell they want to, as long as they don't bother them in their quiet time.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I remember listening to some commercial for a mobile game, like on your phone, and it's like, and now it's like, is your kids bothering you? Make sure you play this game so you're not distracted by them. And it's like what the fuck is that bullshit?
So now, do younger kids, are they wrecking older chumps online, or are the older chumps that have a little bit more life experience, maybe more understanding of competition. Who do you think comes out on top overall? Below 25 or old over 25?
I think probably in the middle, I would honestly say. I don't know, it's just like, it mainly depends like just how much you play the game and how much time you spend dedicated to that game.
Right.
So, right.
You know, I played a lot of Grand Theft Auto V, and there's things in that game that, you know, they're not disturbing in a blockbuster Hollywood sense.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's definitely not.
But like, it's disturbing because you know. It's disturbing that because you know it's a video game, and you know that there's kids running around in the same map as you are, shooting bazookas and going into strip clubs and gambling, and it's at what point is that, like, you know, how is that even entertaining when you're a kid? You know, it's like what little kid, you know, thinks that that's entertaining? I don't know, man. It's like when I was a kid, my imagination, dude, like, was just insane. And I loved my imagination, but it seems like, I don't know. I just don't know what would my imagination be if I grew up, you know, with Grand Theft Auto V versus like Mega Man 3. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah, I mean, I would say that you grew up in a better time because I was born in 1995. And so like by the time I was 5 to 6 years old, Halo came out. Like the first Halo came out.
Wow.
And yeah, so like you grew up on I don't know what the names are, but my oldest brother, you know, he grew up with like the Nintendo 64 version of Duke Nukem. You know, like, he was a fan of Quake.
Epic game. A lot of good memories of the pirate ship map, dude.
Oh, yeah. I remember, like, when I was a little kid, I would just, like, use the controller and just move around. I wouldn't shoot anyone, but I would just, like, run around so that, like, they could get free kills or some shit.
Well, and maybe here's something to think about. You know, when Mega Man 3 was out, I was a soldier. Mega Man was a warrior, and he was taking on the Empire, and he was shooting all kinds of egg-shaped bullets at people and wrecking shop, you know? So in a sense, right. You know, every child loves competition, whether you're throwing a football or you're throwing Yukits, it's your opponent, or, you know, Mortal Kombat, I remember, was like the first game that was like something on a video game that was like completely traumatizingly, you know, gory and revealing, and fatalities were legendary, you know, but at the end of the day, the gruesome fatalities weren't the best ones. The best one was Liu Kang's dragon one. And
oh yeah, because in Mortal Kombat, like, that game is the reason why the ESRB rating system was created in the first place. Back then, it was like, holy shit, what the hell is this? And rightfully so, there was a concern over, like, if kids should play or not. So then they added, like, the ESRB rating system, which would determine, like this game is definitely not for kids, and you should not play it if you're young, basically.
Right. And, you know, there's a conspiracy that all these games are given to kids and made it so easy to destroy our minds and destroy our free wills and to desensitize us to the, you know, the inevitable FEMA camp doomsday scenario. Part of me thinks that it's a little bit innocent too. It's a natural event that happens, and there's no conspiracy to it. It's just something that people are attracted to, that kind of stuff. You know, were there little kids watching the Romans, you know, and the tigers eat the Christians in the Roman Colosseum? Probably. And it wasn't because they were trying to destroy the children. It was just because they were living in a destroyed society. But it's not the creator's fault. It's the parents' faults. And then they go, you guys are creating these games to ruin our young ones. And it's like, you're the one that was all pharmaceuticaled out in the den. They call it the den. When mommy goes into the den to drink her wine and, you know, pop a couple of whatever you call them, whatchamacallits.
Right.
And then, you know, some side of food, you know, side effects. You know, there might be some side effects on the label. You know, read that label. What is the side effects? Complete disconnect from reality. And, you know, when I was a kid, my mom wouldn't even let me watch The Simpsons. If I got caught watching The Simpsons or, like, Married with Children, a lot of those shows were very, when you have young, innocent mind, were very, you look back at them and they're very, very revealing, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, but once evildoers find out that it is having an effect, then the conspiracy happens, and then they start going, you know, full tilt. Is my thought.
Yeah, because in my view, like comics, like for example, comic books and video games kind of had started like the same way, where it was something that was originally intended for younger audiences, but then, like, as the years go on, you know, and especially comic readers start to grow up, you know, they wanted something more different, or because back then, like, Superman was considered just like a kid's thing. It was not. But now, yeah, then, like, in the 80s, there started to be, like, more, I would say, darker views on comics, like especially like stuff with Alan Moore, like which was like Watchmen, for example, which had like challenged the, which in Alan Moore's view, like he was like challenging the way like superheroes were perceived. Like he would say, like he asked himself the question, like, if these superheroes actually existed in real life, what would the consequence, like, how would they actually be like? Like, would they be a driving force for good, or would they just obey, like, their own moral views and not, like, think of anything else? And so, like, ever since then, and now especially comic book are now kind of more darker because of that stuff like that.
Yeah, maybe there's a sense of the people that made the comic books were at a certain age group, and then the comic books evolved and grew in all the different ways at the same age they did. So by the time these comic book creators are 60 and 70, their comics that they're still a part of creating are now more adult oriented.
Right.
And maybe, you know, like it's like maybe one day are we going to see, like, you know, the Power Rangers coming out being all dark and seedy and like real sexy.
Well, I mean, they did recently release that Power Rangers movie, you know, where it was like the suits kind of like resembled Iron Man suit and stuff. And that, like, it wasn't as colorful, I should say, as the original TV show.
Right, which was geared way more towards children. It was like crime fighting Teletubbies or Pokemons. It was, dude. They were all the same colors. They all like cared about the planet. It was like the Captain Planet's, like, you know, like teams, SEAL Team 6, Captain Planet.
Right.
Funny shit.
Oh. Yeah.
It's like what's like a kid thing today that's like a famous kid cartoons, like, are we going to see like the Powerpuff Girls one day going to come out and be all like, you know, dressed like all like freaking real sexy X-Men and shit? That's going to be hilarious.
Oh yeah. Because especially there's like, you know, how there's like a lot of parody channels on YouTube, right?
Right.
And like an animated like series, like an animated channel did like a parody of Powerpuff Girls, but it was still kind of animated like the original show.
Right.
But like they were now in their they were now mid adults.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, young adults, and it.
I might have to check that out. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Well, I could just send you the link.
What was that? What was that link again, bro? No, I don't. My imagination. See, my imagination developed at an early age, and so I've already imagined it, and it's better in my imagination than anything anyone could create. So I'm over it, man.
Yeah, and the thing is that I kind of grew up on. I guess I could say that I pretty much grew up on entertainment. That because for a while we moved, me and my family moved into a small town and stayed there for like 3 to 4 years, and I did have problems with, you know, talking to real people. So, but I still always enjoyed, like, watching movies. Like, when I was young, I really loved the movie Star Wars: The Phantom Menace.
Why?
I mean, obviously, looking at it now, and it's nothing special. But like, to me as a kid,
right?
To like a 10-year-old kid, I was like, "Wow, this is amazing!"
It really was, you know. I must have been,
and it did. I do think it's like, I mean, it did kind of open up my imagination to like, oh wow, would it be cool to like visit these worlds or some shit? And that stuff always interested me.
Huh. Well, I just got hung up on, someone just rage quit. I don't know if it was the CIA or the FBI or, you know, my cell phone provider, but we'll be back here in a second. Well, I'm still here, but maybe we'll be back here in a second. Funny how conversations go into strange places. Yeah, it's interesting, the comparison of growing up and then someone who's about, I don't know, what is he, 15 years younger than me? But in many ways, way more intelligent as far as from another viewpoint and knowledge about other things. Interesting topic how, Disney's... I grew up watching Disney movies. And I mean on repeat, and I mean a million times, and I mean those songs and the musicals are burned into my brain. And not because it was necessarily by choice. It was an obvious choice, but it was also one of the only choices. When I was a kid, we had VHS and like rabbit ear television, and that was it. And Disney was the only one really out there pumping out children's cartoons where you could get something that you might have seen on TV that you had power rewind, and you could power rewind that 1,000 times. And so I seen the Little Mermaid one summer, probably once a week. I seen Beauty and the Beast, you know, it used to be on every day when we were children. And, it was always kind of in the background, you know, our imaginations are always kind of at the forefront, and we're sitting there twiddling our thumbs, thinking about things. And, but that's why the conspiracy hits so much home with me, because we were in that state of mind. And then they come out with all these conspiracies where they're drawn penises. All the characters are made out of penis shapes, and they'll cover Little Mermaid. The castle's like a bunch of penises. And it made me very angry when I saw that conspiracy come out. And there's no denying, because it's drawn by hand and it's on paper, that all those characters look like penises. And you never realized it until someone broke it down for you. Now, is that by mistake? I have a hard time believing that that's by mistake. I really do. Now, is it true that lots of things are shaped like penises in the world? Like certain fruits, airplanes? I mean, you could go on for hours. So, or is the penis shaped like a million other things in the world? Yes, it is. So, is it just demented people are finding these things and trying to, you know, reverse destroy our minds by saying that someone else is trying to destroy our minds? Are we subconsciously being hypersexualized? Has the amount of my unseeable, my can't unsee meter is it just been maxed out for the last 20 years of my life? I just been on that power, what's it, power riffs for like the last 20 years of my life. It's gut wrenching to think about it sometimes. But that's why we think about it, because we want to get that shit dealt with. And at least you can't unsee it, but at least you can understand it. Oh, ooh, that was deep. That's some song lyric materials. Interesting topic that just came out of the blue. I wasn't planning this, but it still relates to the conspiracy world. Someone's calling in. Actually, I'm calling out.
Sorry about that. It said I lost signal.
My friend, please don't do this, my friend.
Well, I'm sorry, but I don't decide the signal does.
My friend, please. Your jokes are no funny. Please, my friend, please.
Okay, I will promise not to leave you.
So, all right. Is there anything new coming out with Singham?
oh my God, I actually watched. Apparently, there's like two versions of Singham. Like one that's like played like a yuppie young actor, and there's like another series that's played with like an older actor. And I gotta tell you, like the way, I think it's a Bollywood movie. I could be wrong. Hopefully I'm not wrong on that. But like just the way they edit those movies, like the editing, like the transitions,
yeah,
is the most hilarious thing I have ever seen.
It's really freaking hilarious.
And I mean that in the best way possible.
No, I do too. I would rather go see one of those in the theater than any of this Hollywood garbage coming out.
Oh yeah, I would rather see an Indian movie than watch anything like dark Hollywood movie bullshit. And it's not to say that I mean obviously I do enjoy Hollywood, I will enjoy a Hollywood film once in a while, like a Marvel movie or a Star Wars movie, like I'll watch that once in a while, but just. I barely go to theaters, and it's just like on a rare occasion. Like I only see movies like if a movie really, really interests me.
I was mad I missed Rambo, but then I heard that it was just like ridiculous. And then I found out they made one in like what, 2008 or Rambo 4? Did you know that?
Oh yeah. I think there's the first Rambo, there's a second one. Then there's a third one.
Right, and that's from the 80s.
Yeah. And then the fourth one came out in like 2008, I believe.
I think so. And then it just ruined
And now this new one just came out, which like it apparently like goes back to like the original violence or whatever.
I don't know, it kind of ruined it for me. It was like, "Oh, you guys already did a remake and I just totally never even remember it being in the theater. That's how bad it was." I mean,
oh yeah. Well, this was apparently Sylvester Stallone's last Rambo movie this year.
Well, he's going to be dead. He's not going to. I mean, that might be one of his last movies ever. So, I mean, you know, good on that. You know,
and then Linda Hamilton came back for another Terminator film.
I got to see that. I'm so pissed. I missed those two movies in the theater.
Yeah, I did not see it, but I heard it was really, really terrible.
Come on, man.
I actually went on Wikipedia and just read the spoilers. And oh my God. I could definitely see why they hate it. I don't know if I can spoil it here, but I can definitely see why they hated it.
Yeah, but I mean Arnold Schwarzenegger's in it, right? So
and Linda Hamilton's back, and even Gene.
Oh, come on, man. Here we go with this 5G. I thought 5G and all this bullshit was supposed to be better. You know, it's like better, but like 4G was awesome for like 20 seconds. 5G's better for like 17 seconds. 6G is going to be even faster, but it's only going to be for like 14 seconds. But remember like when it was 1X and you could just be on the phone all friggin' day. Here we go.
Oh, that damn signal. Anyway. But, shit, where was I? But yeah, like I said, I read the spoilers for it.
So we're going to go, here's a plan. We're making the plan right now. We're going to go see on December 20th, Star Wars. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it going to be, it might not even be crowded. You know, the way things are going, you wonder what like an opening is going to be like. And sometimes you go in there and it's like, is this for real?
Yeah.
But being at Star Wars at Christmas time, it's going to be a bed bug showdown for sure, probably.
Yeah, well, Lando Calrissian is coming back to it, apparently.
I hope they do something that's timeless, you know? Something that leaves us like, oh, shit.
This is going to be the end of this, apparently the end of the Skywalker saga. So, I mean, it's ending like 40 years of movies. Or at least like a story arc.
Yeah, but if they just go back to all origins and crap, I want to see the next series come out and it's like, you know, 5 years after, you know, the last episode.
Yeah, I mean, I think after they do this movie, they should just focus on smaller projects like TV shows, animated series, and comics, like, in the meantime.
But I heard Mandalorian is like, only, like, two more episodes.
And episode 5 is going to, as we're recording this, episode 5 is going to come out tomorrow. And then, like, it's going to go up to, like, 8, and then season 2 will come out next year. Because, The Mandalorian recently... just beat Stranger Things as like the most streamed show of all time or something.
They're stupid, like, man. That. You know why? Because after episode 8, I'm canceling my Disney account. They should, I mean.
Yeah, but the season 2 is going to come out.
Yeah, but so what? Why have seasons when it's a streaming app? Just have a new episode every freaking week for the rest of time.
Well, yeah, true.
You don't have to get that involved. You could have, I don't know, I'm freaking out here. That's how much of a Star Wars fan I am, I guess. I'm a closet Star Wars just nerd, Stradamus.
Well, hey, you just gotta have patience.
I don't. and I'm deleting Disney Plus because that
is the way.
ESPN Plus turned out to be just a total bust. All I can do is check the scores and like maybe see a highlight. Like, and it's in YouTube's faster by like private uploaders. And then Hulu, we already had Hulu, and it's like, I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. I'd rather just buy Mandalorian, and that's it. You know, like 50 cents.
Just like buy it on DVD.
Yeah, like 50 cents. How about a Mandalorian app, where that's the only thing you can watch? They need to have just like a Star Wars app only.
Well, yeah, and they're also going to be releasing a new Obi-Wan series with Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And then the new Star Wars.
That's going to be, I'm looking forward to that. Because he does great.
Who, Ewan McGregor?
Yeah.
But they're going to make him look young again? Or he's like 50 years old.
Well, he's going to take place after episode 3.
You're kidding.
And it's going to like focus on him on Tatooine.
Wow. So, that'll be pretty awesome, I guess. Just out there in the desert with all the Jawas and shit?
Pretty much.
That sounds like, it'd be cool if they did like a Wild West movie, you know?
Or yeah, like a reference, or they can make it like Yojimbo, which is like an old samurai film, which is one of the things Star Wars took inspiration from.
That might be pretty cool.
Because even like Darth Vader's outfit is inspired from like a samurai outfit, if you ever noticed that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean it's gonna be great in my opinion. But we'll just have to see.
Freaking Disney, man! I just can't get around all the penises, you know, that they draw in cartoons.
Oh my god,
dude! Have you seen those videos? You can't deny it that it's true. I mean,
well, I mean,
do you think that was a mistake?
You also don't know what the artist was thinking, like did. like, did they purposely tell the artist, the box artist, to do that?
Well,
like,
I heard
it up himself, or did he just not notice it?
I heard some artists were playing a joke. And then, but here's a good argument. A lot of things are shaped like penises, and a lot of penises are shaped like a lot of things, like an airplane, a banana, fruit. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many millions of things, a cactus, you know, that a lot of everything resembles other things. And so, you know, does a whale, like a blue whale, it looks like a penis. Does a dolphin look like a penis? It does. So if you're,
Maybe they just didn't intend, maybe it was just completely unintentional, and it's just our dirty minds thinking about it like that.
Well, you can't, you know, it's just interesting how it shows them draw the characters, and it's just like, I can't believe that was that diabolical of a plan. And then there's like that whole Club 33 and like the Freemason thing, and then like, was Walt Disney really like a General Lee Mason or some shit?
Yeah.
I don't want to ruin your Disney Plus, you know,
experience. No, I mean, the truth must be told.
Good answer.
Ninja Turtles reference.
Yep.
That movie was great.
They need to make another one. But not like that.
They did, and it sucked.
Well, I watched that cartoon one, and I'll admit it was very entertaining if you were a child. But Ninja Turtles, like, I was in my teens, I think, when Ninja Turtles came out, and like that was more of like.
There was a series in 2003 that I grew up on, and it was like combined. It combined like the tone of the first movie with like the corniness of the original cartoon, but also. You know, Ninja Turtles was, like, the first comic book, because Ninja Turtles was based off of a comic book at first. And, like, the first comic book was, like, extremely, well, not extreme, but, like, really violent.
I remember that. Like, they were, like, all their weapons were real sharp and everything. It was. The artist
was
real.
It was black and white. You know, like, they all had, like, angry faces. And Master Splinter did not, like, treat him like sons, but rather just, like, used him as, like, a tool to get his, get revenge on Shredder.
Wow.
For his master. And Shredder dies in, like, the first comic book. And he's not a recurring character. But then when, like,
Oh, man. It's getting Illuminatic in here. Shredder died in the movie. You know, that original Ninja Turtles movie that came out, I don't know what year it was. It had to be late 90s. I seen that movie 1,000 times. We were kids, man. I mean, we were making ninja weapons out of oleander sticks. So, yeah. All right. I was just saying how, Yeah, Shredder dies in the first movie. What year did that first movie come out? Do you know? Captain Stats?
Yeah, it came out in 1990.
Wow, I was 8 years old?
It came out 5 years before I was born.
Wow, man.
As I was saying, like in the comics, but when the TV show came out, obviously, they did not kill off Shredder. Rather, they kept him around as a villain, and then he started to become. Then he became a pop culture icon, or whatever the phrase is. And then they released the 1990 movie, which tried to combine the TV show with the classic comic. And you know, obviously, Shredder does get like crushed with like a garbage compactor, and then of course he comes back in the second one as like some weird.
Oh yeah, they put the ooze on him or something.
Yeah,
but that's cool superhero shit. You know, that's the kind of stuff that happens.
Yeah,
that's that Jon Snow syndrome.
Yeah. So back then, when like Carrie Breen. Back in like the 90s, when bringing back dead characters was a thing. especially in like Men in Black.
That was the first Men in Black. Okay, was you know it was different. I'll give them that the way they approached the alien human interaction and stuff was interesting.
Yeah,
it was creative and different. And Homeboy needs to get off of this. Well, shout out to whatever his cell phone provider is. I'm going to ask him. New conspiracy theory. So movie, we're talking about conspiracies in movies and Stranger Things. Is Mandalorian is now more streamed than Stranger Things. I was done with Stranger Things. I tried to get into season two, and I love the acting and the sheriff, and it's great acting, and the girl and the kids, and I just lost the thrill was gone. B.B. King reference. The mystique of the first season, you had this mystery. What the hell was going on? What are they getting into? What's this thing coming through a portal, you know, whatever. And it's like so many other miniseries, you know, it's like in Walking Dead. Incredible show, man. I don't know what season they're up to, but at some point, how many abandoned towns are you going to inhabit, take over, settle in, and then get taken out by someone making a stupid mistake? And then have to move on. And then one key character gets taken out. And then, well, you know, at what point does one of the characters do something more human and say, I'm making a stand and I'm going to survive right here, you know? Or where's like the characters like me that would do something, you know, every character on that show, there's not, I would have done something complete. Maybe I'd be one character that never made it, I guess, you know, possibly. But it's like, literally, that show went through like five, like every season, it was like the same story. Even though it may have got more intense or different angles or different scenarios, it's like it was too much of just hopelessness, which is, I get it. You know, maybe in a hopeless world, there is no real hope. But like in now Fear the Walking Dead, I don't know whatever happened to that one. It was better. And, you know, was there a twist at the end? You know, I don't know. I don't know what season. I might be behind a whole season on that. Or if they canceled it, I don't know. I don't remember. But, man, when they got that last episode, when it all made sense and how it turned out, was pretty creative. I got to give them that. Very entertaining. But, well, I keep losing my calls on this. But you know, that's the beautiful thing about podcasting. I'm going to go smoke a cigarette, and then I'm going to call his ass back. Un momento, por favor. Pick up. Come on, pick up the
phone. All right.
What's up,
man? All right. What's up? I'm sorry. I really keep disconnecting. And I don't know why.
So, who's your cell phone provider?
You. Sorry, do what?
Who's your cell phone provider?
Sprint.
Ooh. Oh, man.
I mean, hey, $50 a month, bro. Can't go wrong with that.
No, man, I can call you back 1,000 times. So, did you hear that first, the last podcast you were on that I sent you? Did you listen to that?
Oh, yeah, shit. I'm trying to listen to every single one you posted.
Cool. So, what did you think of yourself, hearing yourself for the first time ever on National Public Radio?
I thought my voice is a little disjointed, but I think that, you know, maybe if I start doing podcasts, like maybe at your house or some of where you're at or something.
You don't like the way the sound, the phone call sounds?
I don't hate it, but I just think it's like a little disjointed at times. But
yeah, I
hear you. That's just how the phone is.
That gives it some.
I can't really fix that.
It's very humanizing, as I would say.
And also, in the future I'll try to sound more energetic and not as bored.
That's where all the deep stats come from. That's you, man. It's great.
Thanks.
So where were we? We were talking about how the Ninja Turtles look like Charles Barkley or something. What were we talking about?
I know it was on Ninja Turtles, but I mean, just shit. I'm really trying to remember this.
It doesn't matter.
I guess it doesn't.
We're over that subject, anyways. Who's talking about Ninja Turtles on podcast? I mean, for reals, this is what we're.
There could just be like an entire thing dedicated to that.
I mean, that's what our bullet point was for this episode, was Ninja Turtle conspiracies.
Yeah. And I think there was like a discussion we had about like Rambo or something.
Yeah, same. Basically the same thing.
Terminator. That's what we were talking about.
So Arnold Schwarzenegger's in the new Terminator movie?
Yeah. It's Linda Hamilton.
It's like CG, though?
I've only read the spoiler. Like, I've only read the plot synopsis. I didn't watch the movie.
Is it the last Terminator movie?
I guess for a long time, considering that it kind of bombed at the box office. Like, it didn't do so well financially. I think it's going to be the last one for a long time. Maybe because apparently, like, it just was so terrible. And, like, most Terminator fans only consider the first two movies to be legitimate, whereas, like, everything else is, like, just made up, pretty much.
Interesting. Now that would be a great miniseries, you know. Disney needs to buy Terminator.
I think Disney owns enough shit.
Well, someone needs to take Terminator and make a freaking weekly sitcom on NBC Wednesdays or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Negative comedy or some shit.
Anyways,
or just, like,
I gotta take a. I'm gonna hit pause for just a second. All right, I'll be right back. All right, I'm back.
All right.
So,
all right.
On to the next crazy topic.
Okay.
So let's get back to video games a little bit.
All right.
Right now it's Call of Duty Modern Warfare is the big hitter.
And I guess in America, yeah. So Russia completely banned this game, like, outright.
They banned it?
Yeah, because apparently the campaign, like, makes the Russians look really bad. And after playing the campaign, yeah, it pretty much does.
Well, like, evil or just stupid?
Kind of evil, not gonna lie.
So, do you think it's leaning towards propaganda?
Oh, yeah.
It's indoctrination for the young Americans that are, it's trying to turn all the patriot, competition-loving gamers.
Whoever wrote the campaign, the story for the campaign, definitely has an agenda or a belief system.
Interesting. So, who...
Because it has, like... Oh, sorry, continue.
Who owns Call of Duty?
So Activision owns the license, and they have two main companies that produce their games. First is Infinity Ward, which made the recent Modern Warfare game, and then they have Treyarch, which makes others. And then there's like other side companies like Sledgehammer Games, or Raven Studios.
Raven Studios?
I think so. I can't, as we're talking, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but I know it has Raven in it. So,
well, Raven, that's a dark arts right there.
Pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. So, you know, I don't need to know anything about it. Just from what I know about that you just taught me, I believe that, you know, it's another angle that I guess you call them the globalists are trying to make. Why is everyone trying to make the Russians so evil? Now, yes, they've had evil dictator like a Stalin, and they've had the Gulag, and they've had all this and that.
Well, I guess it's just because I think it's like the only, especially in America, I think it's like now it's like the only villain. Like the only nation you can vilify without being too controversial.
Believable. Well, it's believable. If they tried to do it with like North Koreans, it maybe wouldn't be so believable because it would be.
Oh yeah, I mean, for example, if they did like China, obviously that would be a lot more controversial than.
Why is that, though? Because they're not white?
Honestly, I have no idea. And also, I think it's because, you know, like with Trump and like the whole Russian collusion.
Right. The timing of it is kind of it's a little bit suspect, I would say.
It's planned. There's nothing, I would say it's too convenient, but there's nothing convenient about it. So. But in the campaign, there's basically two allies and two enemies. The enemies are apparent is America and the British, like the SAS and the Marines, obviously. And then there's two villains. There's the Russians, and then there's, Al-Qaeda, I believe. But like with the Al-Qaeda enemy, like they make it like there's like in that nation, there's like a civil war, like where like one group is bad, where the other group is good. But then when it comes to the Russians, basically all of them are bad. Like,
interesting.
Like it's supposed to like take, I think it's also supposed to like take place in an alternative history, like where the Spetsnaz never, I don't know the history behind Russia, but basically where the Red Army is still existing or something. Again, I'm not a big history person, so.
Right.
Just trying to say what I know.
Well, it's alarming nonetheless, you know, the little factoid, because I'm always, you know, I haven't had a conversation like this. That I can just about every word that we speak, I it's weird how I can relate it to the topics that I follow, and that's what's most mind blowing about it. It's like you could label this a total conspiracy podcast, and all we're doing is talking about movies and video games, and
they accuse us for trying to make up the conspiracy, but like they're the ones doing they're the ones making the propaganda. How can we not respond to that?
Yeah, and I always love the video games where you could be either the Germans or the Americans or the Russians, and especially in like Team Deathmatch, I think they're still that way. Like in, you know, I'm sure the Team Deathmatch, one team is always going to be the Russians, and like it was always fun to just be proud of your nation, you know, no matter what.
And it reminds me of this like YouTuber that like said that like apparently it makes people a Nazi just because you play as a Nazi, and like everyone just started like, dude, like this does not make sense. Why would you say this?
What, that it's like evil even though it's not even.
I think like the most memorable thing about that video is like the opening, like you're sitting on your chair playing Call of Duty, and then bam. You're a Nazi. You did not ask for this. You did not want this. But yet, there it is. You're just a Nazi because you played as a Nazi.
Yeah, I can kind of see it. It's like, I don't want to represent that. You know, what if they made a Civil War game? Someone has to be the South, right? And does that mean you're all for slavery? And it's like, well...
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
crazy. So, what else?
Any updates with Keanu Reeves?
Oh yeah. So you saw the picture I sent you, right?
Was that? Did you send me that? I seen one on Facebook that was hilarious. I was gonna send it to you.
Yeah, that's what he is in the new SpongeBob movie. Oh, just a glowing tumbleweed with his face in it.
I saw him holding a shirt up. It's like a black shirt, you know, like it looks like it's from Hot Topic. It says, "Be nice to animals, or I will kill you with a fucking pencil." Oh, dude, it's hilarious.
Oh yeah, that's what when it comes to that movie, that's what everyone makes fun of, like the fact that it's because of a dog that he kills like 200 people.
Yeah, that movie got ridiculous. Like, it's so many parts of it are really cool and like intriguing, but at the end of the day, it's like, dude, this is worse than Rambo. And then like
Rambo is more serious than John Wick, in my opinion.
I don't know. John Wick just got stupid on me. That last movie, the number 3, it was like, dude, are you serious, man?
Yeah, like, even the second movie, I thought, was ridiculous.
It was, you're right.
Like, at least the first movie was, like, straightforward. Like, it was what it was, regardless of whether you hated it or not. But, like, the second one just felt...
It's like, the first movies always have, like, the good one-liners and the rememberable scenes, and then, like, the rest one is just, like, it's just the same takedown... armbar, wrist move, same shot to the forehead, same throwing knives, like same car chase. It's like, you know, those one-liners are like what makes a movie great, you know?
Yeah. But sequels are based, like if a sequel will either just exist for two reasons. The sequel will exist either to continue a story or it will just be made just to make money. And nothing else. So, yeah.
So what's here's a random question. What's in the future for game consoles? Like, I have an Xbox One and a first generation. I got the Halo 5 edition. Now there's like this One S, One SX. PlayStation 4 is out. What's next? Is there going to be a new console where Xbox One goes obsolete or what?
Well, the Xbox One S is basically just the Xbox One, but, you know, it has more HD graphics and more memory.
And it's quiet. My Xbox sounds like a toaster oven on in the middle of the night. You can hear it.
Yeah, and also it's rumored that the next Xbox is going to come out sometime late 2020. So...
Now, is it just going to be an update, and like an operating system update, or is it going to be something that's like incompatible?
Right now there's just rumors, but I think it might be. Yeah, I think it'll probably be a new console, but I think I also think that old Xbox One games will still be playable.
That's cool.
So that way, like if you have an Xbox One. You don't have to replace it right away.
Well, it's not so much that, like, you know, I don't mind replacing the console as long as the games in my memory can transfer, you know?
Right.
But I never even play anymore. But, you know, I just, you know why I never play? Because the internet connection thing is just such a pain in the ass, dude. In order to be a serious gamer, it's got to be, seriously, if you wanted to be a professional serious gamer, that's like, I would say $400 a month. For like guaranteed gigablast, like landline, move to a different location. Like, I heard that if you live in Tempe, like the Cox Central hub is in Tempe. So like, there's like people moving to Tempe to play video games. They're renting like, you know, condos and stuff. And like, I would almost take it that seriously. We're like, I get it, you know? And so, it's annoying. It pisses me off. They need to make games that are slow enough where anybody can be competitive. We need to think of a fun game that's addictive, that you don't have to have that instant, you know, like download speed or whatever.
Right. And also not to mention that games are like games will get eventually get updates where you will have to like change like either like a graphics card, like just to play the new update or some shit.
Yeah.
And that stuff can be annoying for people that are already playing said game.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm just, every time I think about getting online and like playing like PUBG or Halo 5, or I want to play the new Call of Duty, I remember the like, oh yeah, I got CenturyLink now. I'm at like 40 megs and I'm paying like the bare minimum $60 a month for just internet so I can send emails and be, you know, connected. And it's like, I don't even, like, it just, like, I just defeat it. Like, I just totally talk myself out of it.
Right.
I haven't even played one game since I got my new internet connection. I downloaded Destiny 2 because I had it for free, and I did play the first level, and I'm telling you, that campaign's pretty fun, you know? It's like, you know, I had so much hopes for Destiny because it was made by Bungie, you know? And
oh, yeah, I remember the hype leading up to the first game, like how it was going to be open world and groundbreaking, but then once it came out, it was just like the most mundane, basic game you can imagine. Of course, they eventually added like DLCs and updates, which did kind of make it better. And then it eventually grew a bigger fan base when Destiny 2 came out, which was better, or at least in my opinion. But yeah, that's why you shouldn't overhype things before they get released. Like, especially with Star Wars, even the first Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, which, like, before it came out, it was the most, and I'm not exaggerating here, it was, like, the most hyped movie.
I remember it. I was
in
there.
America.
I remember it, dude. It was like, huge.
Every news station was covering it.
Dude, because you got to realize, the first three movies, nothing was created after the first three movies. There was no miniseries. There was no fan film. This was before YouTube. There was no fan film.
I mean, there was, The closest there was like novels.
Right, the novels. And so when those movies came out, I remember it was freaking huge, man. It was unbelievable. I lived through it. You know, I was there. I think I went and saw those, all three of those, in the theaters. I actually, you know, I can confirm that. And it was it was a total letdown, you know, because they went. Yeah. And that was also at the same time that CG's coming out and special effects, and so that's also part of why they said, "Well, we can make a new Star Wars movie; it wouldn't be a problem." I think part of that played into it because so much work went into making the first three that no one, you know, all these cokeheads in Hollywood, they just didn't have it in them, you know.
And also because, especially George, like with the original three movies, George Lucas. Like, he had a lot of limitations. He had a lot of people that helped him make those Star Wars films. Like, for the first start, like, he actually... Do you remember the famous cantina scene?
Yeah.
From the very first Star Wars movie? Like, when they're walking in and they meet Han Solo?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone liked that. Everyone liked that scene, right? Guess who didn't like it?
George Lucas.
Correct.
Why?
He said that it was always like the thing that it was the scene that he could do better or wish he could have done better, even though to the audience it was perfect as it was. And he directed that first movie, but then once Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi came around, he had two other directors do it for him while he just wrote the script. So, cut to the years later when The Phantom Menace is being made. He now has full control over the project. And the people that are with him are, like, basically just yes men. Like, people that will just... Because, hey, it's George Lucas, like, and he's making another Star Wars. Like, how can he go wrong?
How could he be wrong about anything, bro?
So, yeah, he had full control. He had the most control over that film, more than any other Star Wars film he made.
Right.
And like when you watch The Phantom Menace, it just feels like watching like a play with a lot of CGI in the background.
Interesting.
Yeah, but it is interesting how, because a director being able to tell his vision 100% is very rare. But like, even though it's a vision that just ended up being terrible, it's still interesting that he was able to do it.
Yeah, but how is his vision terrible? I mean, because it was, and I just can't believe it. I almost would lean towards the side that he was sabotaged. Something I just can't, like those Hayden Christensen scenes with the acting, it's like,
well, yeah, George Lucas had it, like, if you watch, like, the making of the prequels, like how he made those scenes, he told Gaten, you should say it this way, or something like that.
Right.
I think the problem was that, I think Hayden could have done, like, a really good performance, but the problem is that the director, it's the director's job to...
Right.
Because if you don't give your actors enough material, then they won't have a lot to work on.
Okay, but here's my point. You can take one line, like the most simplest line, like, baby, I need you, you know?
Yeah.
You could act that out 1,000 different ways. And, you know, you got to pick the best one that's the most believable or, you know, the most legendary. You can't just...
Right.
It almost looks like every one of those lines is like the first take and they're all just gacked out of their mind on drugs.
Oh, yeah. And also, and this reminds me, like, I think when Alec Guinness, like the original Obi-Wan actor from the first movie, he was like in an interview and like he's talking about how he got picked for the role of Obi-Wan. And he said that it did interest him, but one thing he did not like was the dialogue itself. So Alec Guinness himself had to like change his own dialogue to, well, you know, like, I guess in his view, make the character more interesting and have like more depth.
Right.
And as you can see, like, Obi-Wan's lines are memorable. You know, there are things. Basically, there's just things that you remember more well, and then he says his own lines that are not forgettable because he learned from film school or acting school. I don't know where he attended, but basically, he knew what he was doing and he knew how to do it. Whereas, like, with something like A. Hayden Christensen, no offense to him, but I don't, like, he was probably, like, in his, I think he was in, like, in his 20s at the time. You know, he did not, like, not to say he was stupid, but he clearly did not have the same knowledge that Alec Guinness did.
Well, I don't know, it's just...
Everything he worked off, he had to learn from George. And the thing is that George did not give him that much stuff to work on.
But it's like, why did they ever release it? I wouldn't have finished the movie. I guess they have deadlines and shit, you know. I would have said, well...
Yeah, well, deadlines is part of it. And obviously, I guess, like, the people that are working with George were probably too afraid to say anything or criticize him.
I think it was drugs. When people are on drugs, and I have experience with it, it's like... You're just like, yeah, man, that's great. Good job, man. Hell yeah. Because you're preoccupied and you really don't want to be doing what you're doing. You've already got the part. You're already there. You've already been paid. You're already rich. That's not what you care about. And that's why the fan films are the best because they care about it. And that's why the new Mandalorian's the best because the actor that wrote it and directed it, he is a fan.
Yeah, you know, Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni, because with The Mandalorian, you have Jon Favreau, who directed the first two Iron Man films, and then you have Dave Filoni, who helped create the animated series, The Star Wars The Clone Wars, which, by the way, it actually makes the prequels look good, better even. basically, it all depends on what you're doing, if you know how to do it or not. And that's just how I see it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a great talk. I think plan on December 20th. We might have a cast. We might have a couple podcasts before then. This is, you know, sometimes.
I guess we do like a pre-show and a post-show.
All right. That's what we'll do is we'll record an opening segment about what our predictions are. And then we're going to do a recap and, you know, tell us about all our letdowns and stuff like that. So we're going to plan on that. Thanks for being on with me, bro. Captain.
Of course, anytime.
Captain, what was your nickname this time? Captain.
Cancel Culture.
Captain Cancel Culture came back for the Star Wars breakdowns.
You could just call me C3.
C3PO.
No, just C3.
No, that sounds.
You know, Captain Cancel Culture, it's the initials are CCC, so it's just like 3C.
I just have to call you 333 then. That sounds too Illuminatic. I can't go
I guess you're right, but
yeah, this was a good talk about you know, some Hollywood and Disney Plus and you know, the unfortunate drawings and artists, and hopefully, you know, we pray for the souls that drew those terrible characters in our childhood movies, you know. We don't
whether they intentional or unintentional.
Yeah, something now I can never unsee it. So thanks for, you know, whoever saw it. And maybe that's all they can see whenever they look at the dolphin swimming is all they see is penises in the water. I don't know. but until next time, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening to a podcast or Bulletproof. And we'll see you next time.